This is the Pressure Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, all right, we are back. Welcome, everybody, to the newest episode of the Press Row Podcast for your Friday, February 20th, 2015. I am your host, Rich Grisham. I'm excited. I'm always excited. But particularly looking forward to tonight's show. A lot of great stuff to talk about. Got another terrific panel set up. So let's just get right into it. Moving from left to right on your radio. Up first, we have a man who will still get a six, even when he misses a dunk. From Pasta Padre, Mr. Brian Weedy. Brian, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I think I only had 5 points less from the dunk contest than what's his name from the Bucks. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. Giannis. He finished with a 65, but you get a 60 just for being there, apparently. And I thought that was a perfect representation of what we have with video game reviews, where pretty much you get a six just for releasing. But it just kind of stood out to me that night. I didn't enjoy it all that much, except for Levine's dunks.
Well done, sir. Up next, we have a woman who is your one-stop shop for all things Minnesota Twins, Minnesota Wild, and Darkest Dungeon. From U.S. Gamer, Ms. Kat Bailey. Kat, welcome to the show.
Rich, very important night tonight. Possibly the most important night. Tonight, the Minnesota Wild take on the Calgary Flames. Big game. They have to win this game because they're in 10th place. And if they beat the Calgary Flames, who are just ahead of them, they have an okay shot. It's 2-1. I'm watching the game very intensely while talking to you on the podcast. Oh, and I should also mention that I'm Kat Bailey. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are the home of your dunk champion, Zach LaVine.
There you go. So I just got to bring this up, by the way, Kat. First of all, it's pronounced Calgary. And second of all,
that sounds like a bubble bath.
Aren't there like 410 games left in the regular season? There's no way this could be that important of a game in the NHL.
It's important enough. I mean, I think this is the last time that the Wild play the Flames this season. And it's a really, really tight race for the wild card. The Wild badly shot themselves in the foot during December. But thanks to our Lord and Savior, Devin Dubnyk, they are back into the race. So now I am intensely watching the Wild because, frankly, there's no other sports to watch right now.
Well, as a New Jersey Devils fan, I am ready for baseball. All right. Up next, a man who walks up to a tornado and calls it a chump. The executive editor of Operation Sports, Mr. Chris Sanner. Chris, welcome to the show.
Just for the record, that has only happened twice in my life, Rich. Just twice. So, you know, these things happen. And I will echo those sentiments about baseball season and being ready for it because, quite honestly, I'm kind of sick of hearing about the circus that has come to town, a.k.a. the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's getting a little old here in Oklahoma City. Give me some Rangers baseball. Worst team in baseball last year, but I got a good feeling this year, Rich. I got a good feeling.
Or did you just say the Texas Rangers were the worst team last year? Because I think the Minnesota Twins would make a strong argument for that.
The Rangers were pretty terrible last year. I think
Chris feels pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Up next, we have one of only 2,319 people left in the world who have been lucky enough to see Rick Dempsey pitch in person while sitting right behind his family. From Polygon, Mr. Owen Good. Owen, welcome to the show.
Rich, did you go look up the attendance for that game?
It is possible.
I was going to say, because that was close. That what he's citing is, what Rich is citing is, in 1991, I went on a tour of baseball stadiums with my father for a high school graduation present. One of them was a game at County Stadium. It was a blowout, Brewers versus Red Sox. Rick Dempsey, who is a catcher, as anybody knows, was called in to pitch. He did give up a run. It wasn't a flawless inning, which would be awesome for a non pitcher. But he did jam Ellis Burks and got him to pop out to a short right field. And we, Dad and I, were on this trip largely on press passes and comp tickets, and we were sitting in the family seating, and we were actually behind Rick's wife for that game. It was, you know, I could talk about it at length, but that was the details. Yes, I saw a major league game in which a catcher pitched.
Love it. And the Rick Dempsey, of course, you know, was, man, I don't know how long he played, but he played for years. But he was probably best known for being the guy who, during the rain delays, would go out and slide around the bases like a maniac. At least that's what I remembered him for.
Rick Dempsey had this anecdote. There was a some kind of a opening day, and this was, of course, before the Nationals. And Ronald Reagan went up to throw out the first pitch at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. And this is right around the time of a crisis with Libya. And Rick Dempsey asked Reagan, hey, what do you think we should do about Gaddafi? And Reagan looked at him and he said, I think we should nail his nuts to that log and point it at the dugout bench and push him over. So that's Rick Dempsey for you.
Love it. Up next, we have a man as comfortable making the leap from the home office to the red carpet as anyone can be. From Polygon, Mr. Sumit Sarkar. Sumit, welcome to the show.
Well, you know, that's me, always on the red carpets with fancy clothing and fancier people. That's my MMO.
Well, you know, it's funny, Smith. I was going to, in your intro, make a quip about wearing a shirt with thin vertical stripes and a tie with thick horizontal stripes. But then, just to make sure I wouldn't make myself look bad, I Googled that, and that's actually quite a fashionable combination. So kudos to you, sir, for dressing up and dressing well for the occasion. So lots of good stuff to talk about tonight. The main topic tonight is going to be a really fun topic that came up this week, which Owen Good wrote a great piece for Polygon, and then Kat Bailey wrote a sort of a counterpoint piece for US Gamer, and the Press Row podcast Twitter feed has exploded with commentary about. So lots of good stuff about that. That is based upon some comments earlier this week from the head of Take-Two, Strauss Zelnick, about NBA 2K and Madden, which is bigger. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get to that, it is near baseball season. We're only about five and a half weeks away or so from the release of MLB The Show. Last week we had a session with Chris and Brian where we did some sort of in-depth analysis on the strategies that MLB The Show team is taking in marketing the game. And also we sort of did a deep dive into some of the things that have come out. And there is still more coming from the MLB The Show development team, some things that we're probably aware of and other things that we may not be. But one of the things that has been, I don't know if I want to say controversial or interesting, but certainly something that I think you can take one of two ways. It would appear that while many, many adjustments and tweaks are being made to virtually all aspects of the game, the only significant overhaul announced so far, and granted, this could change, but far be it from us to not jump on something before knowing all the facts here on the Press Row podcast. The only significant overhaul so far has been related to Diamond Dynasty, a potentially revenue-generating card-collecting game in the mold of Ultimate Team. So you can look at this one of two ways. You could look at it cynically, like, oh, of course they're going to make the biggest adjustments and put the most time and effort into a potential additional revenue-generating game because they see all the success of Ultimate Team and My Team and similar ilk. Or the other argument could be, hey, Diamond Dynasty probably needs the most work of all the different modes to make it more palatable, more enjoyable. So just sort of looking at where MLB The Show is, and by the way, this was a game that last year won the Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year. We're going to start with you, Owen Good. Do you look at the major investment in Diamond Dynasty from a perhaps a cynical standpoint or more from a, you know, less so and just a, hey, that this is a mode that wasn't working so much, which is why they're putting so much time and effort into it?
I don't know that I look on it as a cynical investment. I think they have to do something to make it relevant. I think they jumped into this and were like, we don't want this to be, they wanted to have a mode that was the kind of player management and kind of fantasy sports hybrid. But I got the sense that they didn't want to be, frankly, as cynical as some of these other microtransaction-based modes are. The problem is it just completely lacks relevance without one or the other. And so they've sort of understood that, and I don't really know what their plans are. I have to be candid here. I don't play Diamond Dynasty. You know, I jump into it just to see what's going on this year, but it's not something that is necessarily attached to either current players or historical players in the way that the Ultimate Team modes are, you know, in the way that my team is, you know, with NBA 2K. And it just seems like an ultra hardcore mode where the people who play it are the ones who are super committed to, frankly, spending all the time that it takes to making your uniform look anything, you know, distinctive or fun. You know, I'll be honest. I mean, that was one of the biggest barriers to me was, you know, I can go out there and they throw you in the middle of the pool and they say, here, you know, do whatever you want with your uniform. And it's like, I don't know how, I'm not a graphic artist. And then it just sort of all rolls downhill from there, which is Diamond Dynasty is something that is about fictitious players and developing them, which is kind of interesting in a way, but it loses its appeal when you know, if all you're doing is opening up packs of players who may or may not be better than the ones you have now and you have no attachment to them otherwise. I could be completely missing the point on Diamond Dynasty. I think it's interesting that they are introducing some very well-chosen historical figures from Major League Baseball and representing every franchise. And to their credit, they've got some players who represent more than one franchise, even if they're, you know, named for one. And that's nice, but I don't know. I think Diamond Dynasty is something where, at least for me, you know, the train left the station a while ago, and it's not something that I'm particularly looking to on this franchise, you know, to differentiate it or to set it apart or to, you know, make a next leap this year.
Brian Weedy, as we talked a little bit about last week, you know, Diamond Dynasty is sort of all roads are leading there. As you play the game, no matter what mode, you're getting rewards, and those rewards lead to Diamond Dynasty packs. They have completely overhauled the way that you get players. There's no more contracts. You've got sort of just one created fictitious player that you can use in sort of any position. But, you know, it just major overhauls. And as are you expecting significant overhauls to other modes, or do you think that Diamond Dynasty this year is really going to be the only one to get this kind of treatment? Again, we're not saying that there aren't significant improvements or changes to the game. There clearly are. But do you get the sense that Diamond Dynasty is really getting special treatment because it is sort of their big lacking, you know, feature compared to the other Ultimate Team type modes? Or is this just, you know, just the normal course of things and something that needed the attention?
So if you look back on the years and you go through the feature lists that SCA puts out for the game in the months leading up to their release, you generally don't find any surprises later on. They pretty much lay everything out there. So I wouldn't anticipate anything big for the other modes because they haven't, you know, set the expectation that there will be. I keep wanting to bring this up all the time, it feels like, but, you know, being able to carry over your saves is going to limit what they do to the Road to the Shows and the franchises of the world. They can't really revolutionize those modes and still have the saves match up. So in that regard, yeah, I think Diamond Dynasty is getting the biggest overhaul as far as these modes go, and it certainly needed it. I mean, Owen said he didn't play it, and the problem wasn't so much that the Owens and the Pasta Padres of the world didn't play Diamond Dynasty. It's that the people who love these modes, the Ultimate Team and the My Team modes, they didn't find anything worthwhile in Diamond Dynasty. They didn't enjoy it. They thought it was designed poorly. So in order to capture those people, they had to do something dramatic with it. And I think they made a lot of good decisions in that regard. Whether it catches on, I'm not sure. Like you said, Rich, they definitely put things in place to raise awareness of the mode and to maybe get people in there and invested in it. The legends are a part of that. The universal rewards are a part of that. whether that ends up working. It should, in theory, because baseball seems like the best fit of any sport for a mode like this. But you also have to take into account that the games are lengthy, the online is unreliable. So there's a lot of variables here to how well someone will find themselves hooked on the mode. Or want to even try after previous years. Who knows? I mean, they may have just lost people at this point. So it'll be interesting to see if it does pick up new people and if they can get a revenue stream out of that, because it certainly wasn't working before.
Cat Bailey, do you look at this from the, you know, more cynical, jaded, oh, we're entering just the flat-out Ultimate Team world in sports games, or do you look at this as, hey, this is a mode that just needed by far the most work, which is why it's getting this attention?
I'm very jaded, Rich. You know that. look, we just live in an Ultimate Team world at this point, and every sports franchise has to have it. And I accept that. But I think everybody was making salient points earlier when they were saying that, yeah, Diamond Dynasty was kind of the weakest mode in MLB The Show, and it did need work. But as was mentioned earlier, MLB The Show has some serious structural problems to work through, most especially, as we were saying, the online play, which I just don't see Ultimate Team working until the online play gets sorted out entirely, which it's 2015, for God's sake. Please, 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 Sony, figure out what to do with this. And, yeah, that's pretty much. And of course, the length of the games is also a real problem. I mean, I would even say that I'm always kind of surprised that Madden Ultimate Team is as popular as it is, because the games are pretty long, and I feel like to get that gameplay loop properly going, you really need to have the games last maybe 15 to 20 minutes at most. And they and games in MLB The Show last like an hour or so. Yeah, I don't know. MLB The Show will continue to work on Diamond Dynasty, and I'm sure people will play it, and I'm sure it'll be a revenue generator, but I don't know. I guess I just don't have a big opinion on it, but yeah, I am pretty cynical about this entire thing. It's a revenue generator at the end of the day.
Chris Sanner, you ran a poll this week on Operation Sports asking if all the new information that's come out about Diamond Dynasty has people interested in it. What was the response of the Operation Sports community about that question?
Well, it was actually interesting. 51% said they're not touching it, no matter what. And, you know, that's about what you would expect. The poll really wasn't that surprising. 49% conversely did say that they were at least considering playing Diamond Dynasty. 13.5% are definitely playing. 23.3% will be dabbling in it. And then 11%, well, they're just confused souls. So, and they're just not sure yet, but at least they're considering it, you know, if you're in Sony's standpoint. They haven't ruled it out. They haven't ruled it in, you know, so they're there. Generally, it was actually a little better than I thought. I figured, you know, I'm not touching it would be 65-70%. It's been interesting, and you've seen this on OS the past couple of years. You've seen this huge rebellion against these microtransaction Ultimate Team modes. And there's been a lot of people warming up to them. I'm guessing that's just because they've tried them out and actually enjoyed them, or any other number of things. But you definitely can sense that with Diamond Dynasty. People want to be positive about it, but they're just not sure about the changes and how much they're going to make it just the mode better.
Can I just say that NBA 2K actually did the best job of selling me on Ultimate Team as a thing when they had an introductory video in NBA 2K15? I think it was, that they said build your ultimate team. Like, what if you know, Durant were on the Portland Trail Blazers? What if so and so were playing with so and so? And basketball is so much about hypotheticals and all that I was like, Oh, okay. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Because I'd always thought about Ultimate Team as build up your own team with cards or something. So the creating your ultimate fantasy team and then putting it out there was, that was the first time that they pitched it in a way that kind of stood out to me. And baseball is another sport where it's like, well, what if you could create the ultimate lineup and the ultimate pitching staff? So I guess in that sense, maybe I'm a little less cynical about it.
Sumit Sarkar, you have seen MLB 15, the show. I'm excited to hear what you have to say to that. Based on what you've seen and based upon sort of how it's being pitched to you, do you get the feeling, well, two questions. Number one, do you get the feeling that Diamond Dynasty is getting the bulk of the attention from a feature mode modification perspective? And then number two, in your, you know, in your experience, your hands-on with it, what are your, you know, overall impressions?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I did not see Diamond Dynasty myself. I mean, it was there. Like, I could have seen it. It's just that at the demo, the PS4 wasn't hooked up to the internet. So, like, you know, he couldn't show me, like, the card packs or any of that stuff.
Surprised it even turned on.
So I, you know, I'm not sure about Diamond Dynasty, honestly. You know, certainly there's I know they ran the stream and they've been doing, you know, those Twitch streams. They've done a few of them now. So I'm sort of a little out of the loop on I guess the changes that they're making to Diamond Dynasty. But you know, I talked with Ramon Russell from Sony San Diego for a long time. Played a full game against him as well. I don't get the sense that Diamond Dynasty is, you know, receiving the bulk of the attention, or at the very least, it's not. I don't think it's receiving attention, you know, necessarily at the expense of the other stuff in the game. The main thing I noticed, you know, with Ramon taking me through the menus, you know, he was just going through franchise and you know, simming games, going in and out of screens. There has never been a game in the MLB the Show franchise with faster menus than this one. It's night and day. It's incredible what they've done.
Really?
Long overdue.
Holy God.
Which is like a silly thing to be excited about in a way, but considering how much time you spend in menus in that
game. I'm legitimately excited about that.
It's not. Yeah. No, that's not a silly thing to be excited about, because sports games have just been kind of notorious for having slow menus, and it really impacts the experience, because especially in career mode, you spend so much time in menus. Pardon my language.
I'm not saying that, like, the interface is, like, way better. That, you know, I'm going to need to spend more time with it, obviously. But at the very least, you know, just going in and out of screens. I mean, even simulating through franchise mode games, that was much faster. Load times, getting in and out of games and things like that are noticeably faster. Ramon said that on average, load times are, you know, 33% faster this year. So that was something that I noticed immediately. More so, you know, there's a lot of new stuff this year. The skin tones for creating a player are much more granular.
Yes.
And so that stuff, you know, and there's, I guess, new faces that are available as well when you're creating. And that stuff is all, I guess, available, you know, when you import someone. So it's not necessarily going to be like, oh, you are restricted to this lower, or, you know, this smaller feature set because this is, you know, a legacy thing that you are bringing in from a year ago or whatever. And you know, they're introducing that new universal reward system this year. So, like, you bring a guy in from last year, and, you know, you'll start to accrue those universal rewards, you know, once you play with that guy in MLB 15. So the way they're doing it, you know, I can't say for sure, but the impression I got is that they built it smartly enough so that you are literally bringing in, you know, a guy, a player who has, you know, certain statistics or whatever, and you know, attributes and you know, equipment and you know, body features and all that stuff. I, you know, aside from like retired players, I don't get the sense that they are going to be limited by the feature sets of previous editions of Road to the Show and Franchise and whatever. So, you know, I can't imagine that they would have built the feature in such a way as to, you know, limit their ability to expand on these modes. And Ramon did say that, you know, as far as he knows, you know, the plan is that, you know, you start a guy – you start with the Road to the Show guy in MLB 14, you will be able to keep bringing that person forward for the entire life of the PS4 console. So, you know,
which is fantastic.
I mean, yeah, all the way to, you know, MLB 20 or whatever.
So we're burying the lead here, though. The big question, Sumit, is, oh my God, you played MLB 15 The Show. How does it look? I mean, is it this huge visual leap forward? How are the new animations? Like, what was it like? You played plenty of MLB 14 The Show. Is it that big leap forward that we've, you know, that they've been talking about?
Well, visually, I think so. The one thing, you know, he couldn't show me the night lighting. I guess they've done a lot of work in that area, but he said it wasn't quite ready to show. So we just, you know, we played a day game. You know, they've done a lot of really cool stuff with you know, like the sun being in the exact position it should be for whatever month of the season you're playing in and time of day. As Owen speculated, you know, you will be able to do the Patriots Day game, 11 a.m. start time, is available to choose from this year. The lighting stuff looks really impressive. You know, again, we were playing a day game, but you know, I saw the shadows creeping forward as the game progressed. You know, I don't want to say that it's like a huge leap in terms of the graphical fidelity from MLB 14. It looks better, but it's, you know, it's not like a holy crap, this is like blowing MLB 14 out of the water. I also think that last year's game looked really nice on PS4.
Me too. Yeah, me too. That's been one of my biggest questions. I mean, I understand how you can make a game look better, but it's not like MLB 14 The Show. It was not a beautiful, beautiful game. It was and still is. I just played it the other day. It was fantastic. Oh, and you had you have a follow up, or you wanted to follow up on this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of these things sound fine, and they're great, and I think this year MLB The Show should receive some kind of chit in the critical. In the evaluation that they get because of the structural improvements and the new things that they did last year to specifically address, I think, you know, the most cumbersome part of this series, which is, you know, how do you play a complete season in a credible way without feeling like you're giving up anything? And of course, that goes back to quick counts and player lock. So it might be a little much to expect in the second year, you know, some sort of profound structural changes. But, you know, I have to point out, if we were talking about licensed equipment inclusions in another sports video game, I don't think anybody would give a damn.
That's a good point.
I mean, you know, the NBA, the NBA 2K definitely, and NBA Live to an extent, you know, make use of shoe porn.
Yeah, the shoes. That was my only thing. Is shoes in NBA are their own universe. But other than that, I cannot think. You know, NHL, Madden.
You guys are so wrong. Oh my God, FIFA fans FIFA? Go berserk for the equipment.
Okay.
They freak the hell out if the equipment is wrong. I've seen it before.
Well, but those are. I mean, no offense. Those are the hardest core of the hardcore. I mean, it's just these are great things. They definitely, you know, add another layer to or you know, further refinement to the, you know, to the immersion or the verisimilitude that this game seeks to provide. But it, you know, I don't think anybody really gives a crap to pick up a game, a baseball game, because it has a Rawlings glove in it versus a generic glove in it. I mean, I really don't.
Before we leave this subject, Sumit, any quick thoughts on gameplay or anything else catch your eye in your limited experience playing MLB 15 the show?
They've done some interesting tweaks to the interface, like in the batter pitcher confrontation. So they've kind of minimized, I guess, the clutter on screen. And if you're doing like a one player game as a computer and you're hitting, they've tweaked like the guess pitch system to where the camera will, if you're guessing like the right part of the zone or the bottom right or whatever, the camera will actually move in that direction. If you have to hold the left stick, but it'll move in that direction, which gives you a tiny bit of a leg up on seeing that pitch better, if it is actually in that area. So that's kind of a neat tweak. I did see a lot of improved animation variety. So what Ramon told me is that actually, they've had a lot of legacy animations in there that they just retired, in essence, because it was the kind of thing that you would see over and over again and you had been seeing for years and years, and they've introduced a lot of new ones. So that's not to say that I didn't see some old animations, first baseman catching a high throw with one leg in the air kind of thing, so what Ramon told me is that the MLB has always been a very iterative franchise in a lot of ways. They don't often have like a big back of the box feature that's going to really grab people's attention. And what he was saying was, this year that, he was saying like, oh, we've done like the most work on gameplay than in a single year, like that, than we've done like ever or in a while or something. And so that kind of stuff is going to be hard to see, I think, in a single session. But real quickly, other stuff that was exciting is audio, honestly. The radio show is actually pretty cool in terms of, all the different lines that they've recorded. It gets pretty specific in explaining to you what's happened. And it's also very responsive in terms of, the events that have just happened in the game. So the radio show is, in the franchise mode, it's you'll hear it in the menus while you are changing your rosters and all that stuff, and it really does give you a great overview of what's going on in the league. Obviously you get the simple last night the Rockies visited Cincinnati and got smacked by the Reds or whatever. So that stuff is good. They do get more specific with, someone, he got his first win of the season on the mound or whatever. So that stuff's really neat. What Ramon did for me was he engineered a trade, and he also mentioned here that they've rewritten the trade logic, so it's like you can't defraud the computer anymore. But anyway, he made a trade and then simmed like to the next day. And the radio show covered the trade. It specifically said that, the Cubs have traded John Lester to whoever. So that stuff is really interesting. And basically what Ramon was telling me was that it's sort of part of, a lot of sports games are developed with multi-year plans, right? So this is their first effort with the radio show. And, I asked him about commentary specifically, and, he basically implied that's something that they want to certainly address in the future, but this is a way that they're sort of laying the groundwork for that kind of, work on audio and making the commentary more dynamic. So hopefully that's something that will keep people interested during the franchise mode.
Good stuff. Well, all right. We're going to take a very quick break, but when we come back, we are going to dive into the cover story for tonight's episode, which all started with a single comment from Strauss Zelnick about whether NBA 2K is bigger than Madden. Well, hey, everybody. I want to take a moment here and talk about Warby Parker. Thank them for sponsoring today's episode. These guys are really cool. They were founded with a rebellious spirit and a lofty objective, and that was to create boutique-quality, classically crafted eyewear at a revolutionary price point. Now, I wear glasses, and I actually wear several pairs of glasses now thanks to Warby Parker. I am a customer,
And I really like these guys, and I like what they do. They are the new way to shop for eyewear. They got a great selection of vintage-inspired glasses, and they're all available to you online. Now, we all know that going to the eye doctor and picking out glasses is a pain. Now, you got to go to the eye doctor sometimes. I did it about a month ago, first time in years, kind of embarrassed. I went there. He did everything he had to do, and I got my prescription. But because I knew about these guys, Warby Parker, I took my prescription. I said, hey, thanks. That's cool. I'm going to take this and go home. And I would use the whole online process. Not only that, but, you know, let's be reasonable. Glasses should not cost as much as an iPhone either, right? Warby Parker's prescription glasses start at $95. It's a lot cheaper than my eye doctor wanted. And their titanium collection starts at $145, and that includes prescription lenses. And their home try-on program is awesome. You order 5 pairs of glasses shipped directly to you, and you just go on their website, you pick 5 pairs that look cool, and you just say, send them to me. And they do that. And they send you this cool box which has these 5 pairs of glasses, and you try them on, you know, in the comfort of your home whenever you got the time, right? You don't have to drive across town to the eye doctor's office. Show them to your spouse or your girlfriend or your friend. Say, hey, which ones do you like? And you keep the frame for 5 days, and then you send it back using the prepaid return shipping label. There's no obligation to purchase. It's really easy. Then once you make your selection, you send it back. They'll send you an email like, hey, all right, we're good to go. Give me your prescription. Look into the the webcam for a second so we can make sure we got your measurements right. And boom, a few days later, your glasses show up at your doorstep. And you can support this show by ordering your glasses online today at warbyparker.com/pressrow. And you will receive a free expedited 3-day air shipping. So check it out. That is warbyparker.com/pressrow. These guys are really good. The glasses are high quality, and they got every kind of selection. They have premium Japanese titanium. They have these French non-rocking screws. All glasses are, they include anti-reflective and anti-glare coating. That's all additional stuff you got to usually pay for at the eye doctor. All glasses include a hard case and a cleaning cloth. These are not additional stuff you'll need to purchase. And again, online options include glasses, reading glasses, and sunglasses. They make it easy. They make it really convenient. They do a great job. And you can take care of your glasses needs, and you can support Press Row by going to warbyparker.com/pressrow. Check it out. Thank you, Warby Parker, and thank you, Press Row podcast listeners. Well, all right. As I mentioned earlier, the cover story of the week is sort of something that I think kind of came out of left field. I was unaware of this session, but on Bloomberg TV this week, there was an interview with Strauss Zelnick, I believe he is the CEO of Take-Two, where the person interviewing him asked him, is basically centered around sports games, but there were discussion of other things. But a very specific question she asked, and almost, you know, it's going to sound wrong, so I won't say it that way, but in a way that was almost naive, in which after a very interesting discussion about a couple of points, including where Mr. Zelnick brought up the fact that, you know, a game like NBA 2K has a significant engagement rate, and that engagement rate basically centering around monetization of virtual currency, which he mentioned in the interview, is up 90% year over year, which I found a fascinating statistic. She then asked, is there any way that you'll ever compete with Madden? And he paused and he looked at her and he said, we're bigger than Madden. And Mr. Owen Good on Polygon this week, you wrote, I thought, a very interesting piece sort of analyzing that statement, the different ways that it can be looked at. Kat Bailey, you wrote an interesting piece as well, sort of counterpoint may not be the right term, but certainly an analysis of it from a different angle. I know Brian, Chris, and Sumit, you've also got some thoughts on this as well. So, Owen, we'll start with you, with the core question that was asked the core question that I have, which is NBA 2K bigger than Madden? And I'm curious what you think the answer to that is, as well as what sort of metrics could potentially be used for that discussion.
You asked a direct question. I'll give a direct answer. Yes. Now, that answer comes from a personal perspective, and it's somewhat informed by what has gone on in sports video game development and publishing over the past 6 years, where Madden has, I would say, only recently shown vigor in terms of, you know, having a wherewithal about it in its development sense, and showing people that the things that we do this year really do, you know, serve as a foundation for future years, where Madden, and I think everybody else would agree to this, you know, in the past has trotted out a lot of features that just, it's throwing things at the wall, and then when they don't stick, they just throw them away the next year. So, you know, in terms of consistency of experience, in terms of reliability of improvement, in terms of, frankly, the pop cultural relevance. And I know that a lot of us in the media sort of, you know, look at the social media perspective or profile of 2K Sports or EA Sports, which has you know, definitely had a robust presence and felt like a lot of this was sort of alchemy and people generating hype. But, I mean, you know, the NBA 2K is, I think, a legitimate pop culture reference point for people who don't necessarily attach to video games or the ongoing video game discussion. So, you know, there's a crossover between sustained excellence within a really, really difficult genre to stand out in, because you have the "what have you done for me lately" aspect of year-to-year development, and then there's just the, you know, the pop culture attachment, and, you know, what celebrities are mentioning NBA 2K? Do they, what NBA basketball players are name dropping it when they talk about the things that they do and enjoy? But at bottom is a rock solid core of a video game, which from 2010 until 2013 was, when you talk about the leaps and bounds in which it improved itself qualitatively, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see a title, you know, do something like that again. My argument, as I put it forth with Strauss Zelnick, and why I thought, you know, he could, as I said, look somebody in the eye and say NBA 2K is bigger than Madden and not move the needle on a polygraph, is because of what that title has grown into, its leadership position, not just within 2K Sports, which frankly it is 2K Sports in its entirety as we know it right now, but also within 2K Games, and therefore I think it's just as culturally relevant among the profile of video games that take two interactive offers as Grand Theft Auto. You know, they've put a lot of hard work into that, and it's something that has overcome past mistakes, particularly within the previous leadership of Take-Two Interactive that Zelnick himself overthrew as a shareholder in 2007, and the bad deals that they cut, one of them being Major League Baseball and the MLB 2K franchise, which I'm sure we'll discuss at length later on. There are many measures by which you can say, you know, what franchise is bigger than the other. In North America, there could be only two, and that is NBA 2K and Madden. I know FIFA is the global leader. I think it's a different story in North America, but I think that there are valid reasons for one as a, you know, or the other, and I think that Zelnick's comments were as much informed by pride as they were by actual measures, and the actual measures were ones achieved in a time of great turbulence, not only within Take-Two, but also within Visual Concepts and 2K Games, and the people who worked very, very hard on NBA 2K carried the load for that thing. I mean, you could have seen, I don't know if anybody recalls this, but in 2008, there was talk of Electronic Arts making a bid for Take-Two and buying out, you know, its properties. And one of the big reasons for doing so is what, you know, 2K held. And back then, there were a lot more properties than now, and so it was seen as a wise decision because it would consolidate so many positions. It was not just NBA, and there was also the NHL was in it. And then, of course, EA could bring back Major League Baseball and I guess the MVP brand, and it didn't come to pass. And I don't know. I mean, I think Grand Theft Auto may have been the thing that warded that off, because that title was so large and was such a thing. It was so valuable that, you know, investors and then the owners of Take-Two didn't want to give it up without, you know, a serious fight. But I do think that NBA contributed to that, and I think that it has a sacred and sentimental place in that company's publishing profile, and is warranted, and it's something that, at least on the last console generation, has outperformed Madden, not only in terms of critical quality, and I don't think anybody here would disagree with that, but I think in terms of the growth and the encroachment on the mind space. Madden is something that goes back 20 years, and Madden is a cultural touchstone that when you get major media brands involved, you know, like the New York Times or you know, I don't know, 538 or Grantland or something like that. Yes, they're going to probably name drop that first. But for people who actually play sports video games, I don't think there's any question on the past generation who it was who chopped the most wood. And that's what Zelnick was speaking to.
You know, one of the things that I really love is analytics. And analytics are based upon numbers. And one of the things that I love about sports is that there are clear numbers. There are winners, there are losers. You play a game, somebody scores more points or scores more goals or scores more runs than the other, and they are the winner. You know who the scoring leader is in the NBA is. You know who the leading rusher is in the NFL. You know who the batting champion is. You know who drove in the most runs. When sports video games, you have no idea, because these companies do not share full information. They don't share universally. There's not a scoreboard for sales. There is not a scoreboard for, you know, post-release revenue from your ultimate team models. Yes, you have the NPDs, but they don't give you the vital statistics. They're just rankings. So it's frustrating to me that we can't have an accurate conversation from at least the, you know, total dollars generated perspective. I don't understand how these are publicly traded companies that somehow don't have to divulge that information. I've never understood how that's possible. But the fact is that whether something is bigger or not is not it's not something you can actually quantitatively analyze. And there's a lot of different ways to say one thing is bigger than the other, right? And what's made the most leaps in overall quality? What has the most sales? What has the highest Metacritic rating? You know, what has the most players playing? What has the most people playing the furthest out? Like, are people playing Madden in July? Are people playing NBA 2K in July? These are things that are, for the most part, impossible to discern. Cat Bailey, you wrote it's not quite a counterpoint, but you wrote a piece today, or I'm sorry, a couple days ago on US Gamer that was sort of, you know, taking Owen's angle and looking at it a different way. What was your reaction to the piece, and what was your approach to asking the question, is NBA 2K bigger than Madden, and whether it was a yes or a no?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that NBA, I completely agree with Owen when he says that NBA 2K is a really good game that has accomplished many remarkable things over the past several years. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's as big as Grand Theft Auto. In fact, I would definitely not say that it's as big as Grand Theft Auto, because Grand Theft Auto is kind of in a category all of its own. But it is completely true that NBA 2K has carried the 2K brand, and that it is certainly a top three sports franchise, if not the best sport franchise right now. That said, my argument was that quality doesn't necessarily have a lot to do with this argument. Madden, as Owen rightly pointed out, has been struggling, has been kind of stumbling along, has been kind of moribund for the past several years. And yet, year after year...
I'm just to interrupt you. I don't agree with that, by the way, but keep going.
Look, I am probably the most critical of Madden over the past several years. Or I am probably the most critical of Madden out of almost anybody here. Like, I have been pretty hard on Madden. So it's a little weird for me to be carrying water for the series, but I digress. In any case, the series has not had a great reputation, let's just say that, up until maybe this year. And yet, every year, pretty much every year, it's been in the top 10 for MPDs. We don't know the exact numbers, but we know that year after year, it's in the top 10 at the end of the year. And why is that? Because American football is the most popular sport in North America. If we're talking about North America, I mean, it's not even a close. It's not even an argument. Like basketball, there was a Harris poll in 2014 in which people were polled, what is your favorite sport? American football was easily at the top, and the NBA was at 6% behind auto racing and college football. So, I mean, the NBA gets a ton of media coverage, but it is the third sport. It was behind baseball, which was at 14%, for example. In any case, let me continue.
Okay, go ahead.
people are gonna go, well, I mean, blah, blah, blah. Look, I have an axe to grind against basketball, but I digress.
My point is I think the NBA is wildly more popular than Major League Baseball, but go ahead.
Whatever. NBA 2K. Imagine, let's just swap places really quickly. If NBA 2K were Madden over the past few years, if it had been hovering in that kind of 70s range, if it had developed kind of a bad reputation for resting on its laurels year after year, would it still exist? Would it still be a thing? Maybe, but it certainly would not be anywhere near where it is right now. And it would certainly, and I actually would doubt that it would be in the top 10 of the MPDs. So what is my argument? My argument is that NBA 2K has maximized its potential. It is at the top of the top where it can possibly go. And while it has continued to show growth, it's just not going to overtake Madden, which Madden turns it around, you're going to see Madden become a bona fide pop culture, like, in a way that we're talking about NBA 2K theoretically being, it will actually be that way, because frankly Madden is everywhere. And I don't want to pull what somebody once said about Richard Nixon. I don't know how Richard Nixon voted. I don't know anybody who voted for her or for him, but I see Madden everywhere. I see it in commercials. I hear it referenced in the same lines as the NFL in a way that I do not hear NBA 2K referenced. And that is not to say that it is very popular. It is very popular. But Madden, even with its kind of poor reputation over the years, is so deeply ingrained in not just the sports gaming consciousness, but in the popular culture consciousness, that I have to say that Madden is bigger than NBA 2K.
I'm not saying
that it's better. I'm saying that it's bigger.
If I can jump back in here, I agree, Kat, with what you're saying in terms of if both franchises realize their full potential, there's no question which one would be bigger. And that is, I mean, that's that. Yes, obviously, top to bottom, American football on this continent blows away basketball, even though basketball has a greater, assumed to be a greater global appeal. There's no question. But I also think that kind of makes the argument for me as far as, you know, which is the bigger franchise. Because, you know, we're not really talking about what's in the future. We're talking about what's right now. And the other thing on this, and I, you know, I never thought I would be saying this, but it has to be pointed out. Madden is something that for the past decade has had no competition and has run in this sort of these backwaters, you know, trying to find itself while still having this kind of crown prince aura about it of, well, we're still big because we're the biggest sport on this continent, which is correct. While NBA, as you correctly point out, and I, you know, I was saying to others, you know, the ranking of top sports that people are interested in matches, you know, what we would do when we did consumer surveys at the newspaper I worked for 20 years ago. NBA gets a lot of press, but it is not something that people really care about until you get to the playoffs. It's no longer really, you know, appointment television. But the thing is, Madden, and I really hate to say this, it bought the pot. NBA put its competitor out of business for 3 years, effectively, and it is just now rallied back. And we had a show 2 weeks ago where people were openly questioning whether it was going to come back this year, even though its executive producer, for whatever it's worth, has guaranteed to me that it will this year and the next. That's how much its competitor's future is in doubt, and it did that without cutting an exclusive arrangement with the league licensing it. So I think that accounts for something, too, in terms of the strength of the title. And I can only offer anecdotal pop culture references for how NBA penetrates, the mainstream, you know, whether it's, people talking about, you couldn't make that shot, you know, in NBA 2K, you know, in a post-game interview, you know, on Twitter. And I forget when that, who said that, it's not really coming to mind right now. Or, Kevin Durant and how, you know, he responds to the game and things like that. I mean, that's all anecdotal. And yes, Madden has an enormous outreach with current players, and it also has, you know, the traction of, you know, being the a teaching tool, frankly, for players overseas where American football, you know, maybe an intrigue or a novelty. Or here, Raheem Morris, formerly the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said that he learned, you know, a lot from Madden. Of course, he's no longer the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I don't know what that says about its teaching potential, but I can vouch for its ability to make certain concepts about the game understandable, and then what you do with them after that is up to you. But I think it's a very salient point that in the past decade that we're talking about here, Madden has had no competition, where NBA 2K has put its completely, you know, out of the room and for 3 years off the shelves.
I would just like to come out and say that I think that the idea that NBA 2K put its competition out of business is maybe misrepresenting the facts a tiny bit. I'm sure we'll all recall that at the very circa 2000, like 2010, NBA Live was very much neck and neck with NBA 2K, and the two of them were seen as very solid sports franchises, not the top of the top, but still very solid. And then EA went and blew off its foot with a rocket launcher. I mean, EA did that to itself. Now, to NBA's credit, right after that, they did the Michael Jordan cover. They rocketed upward, and they kept EA down. But it was EA at the end of the day that really shot itself in the foot.
EA shot itself in the foot, no question. And they did so because they were under extreme pressure. They were not selling as much as NBA 2K, which is perceived as a lesser competitor. They had siphoned away Mike Wong, who was, you know, the golden boy from NBA, brought him up to Vancouver. He had a vision for how they were going to do NBA Live 11, which they didn't cotton to. They felt they had to remake the entire franchise. He said, not going to do that. he departed. That's what gave us NBA Elite 11. So they were forced somewhat into that position because of their subordinate position to NBA 2K. But the most important thing to me is their focus. I mean, and it has been articulated to me in direct terms from Visual Concepts in 2K. We want to get the de facto exclusive. So when I talk about that studio wanting to put NBA Live out of business, it has been articulated to me in those words directly as a primary focus of how they develop that game. And I don't see Madden with any competitor, first off, and then any similar motivation in a second sense. And the fact that they have executed on such an ambitious goal, because you can execute on sales goals, and a lot of that might be, you know, I don't know, marketing or the fact that they went out and got the Dream Team, or they got all these classic teams or all these other historic figures from antiquity, you know, that excite people's imaginations. But they did it. I mean, that's the bottom line. They called the shot. They pointed at the outfield and they said, we're going to put it there, and they did. And you know, the other thing too is that, you know, if EA was going to be happy to release NBA Elite 11, you know, a week before it was supposed to roll, when that disastrous demo went out, and then they pulled it back and said, "My God, we're going to ruin the brand if we do." And meantime, NBA 2K11 was something that was video game of the year quality with the Jordan Challenge, and then the next year they stood on the accelerator with something that was even better. So I have to quibble with the idea that Madden is, you know, or excuse me, that NBA, you know, that all of this is because of NBA shooting itself in the foot. It definitely widens the gap, but these things were miles apart, and NBA was forced into a lot of its mistakes because of the pressure being placed on it.
I was going to disagree with you there, Owen, because NBA Live, the last NBA Live before it went on hiatus, was widely regarded as pretty much the equal of that year's NBA 2K. And then EA went and shot itself in the foot. And then NBA 2K widened the gap.
They did so because the critical gap, the critical disparity notwithstanding, and it was very small, and I've noted this, the sales gap was wide to the point that EA Canada said, well, we've got to do something completely revolutionary. And then they went off on the fool's errand with NBA Elite and the control system that just went nowhere.
Right.
I mean, I feel like that was a forced error in, you know, in tennis terms. God, we're dragging tennis into this.
That's fair enough, Owen. And in many ways, I do actually agree with you on that point. But in other ways, I feel like maybe it's also beside the point because, as I already said, quality is not necessarily what's at issue here. As I already said, it says that all that needs to be said that even though Madden has had a pretty poor reputation over the past few years, while NBA 2K has had an arguably sterling reputation – a reputation that might even outpace its actual quality given the questionable monetization and that sort of thing. Madden is still very much entwined with the culture of the NFL. From the moment that training camp opens and Madden makes it a big event with the new ratings coming out and people are arguing about it, you're seeing this kind of stuff you're seeing them talking about it on ESPN, for God's sake. All the way up to the Super Bowl, where they have the big Super Bowl simulation in the Madden Bowl. And yeah, this is partly marketing, but it's marketing that works because Madden has a kind of name recognition and a kind of identity with the NFL that, while NBA 2K has been really, really, really good, does not have that kind of identification as Madden.
Well, I come at it from the other end. I mean, yes, I mean, there's a lot of marketing there, and EA spends a lot of time and effort putting that into it. But, you know, when you talk about a game that reflects its league's culture, I mean, are we forgetting the role-playing elements within NBA 2K, within my career and my GM? And that is a game that does more for role-playing and living a lifestyle in the most lifestyle-oriented professional sport in North America and possibly the world, but likely second to soccer superstars in the world. That is a game that reflects that lifestyle even more, frankly, than FIFA. So that's where, you know, it has been, you know, are you talking about its cultural relevance to its league, which is something fans don't really give a damn about, or its cultural relevance to its fans?
The cultural relevance to the league. And I would actually say that Madden is relevant in a way to – I would say that Madden is actually relevant to the average fan in a way that NBA 2K is not relevant to the average NBA fan. I would say that Madden seeps into the dialogue – you know, surrounding just the general league in a way that NBA 2K does not seep into the general dialogue surrounding the NBA.
Well, that may be, okay, fine. That may be because you've got 32 teams in the NBA with an 82-game schedule, or excuse me, 30 teams with an 82-game schedule, and then 32 in the NFL with a 16-game schedule. So there's a lot more instances where you can have, you know, a more concrete discussion of, well, what would Madden do in this situation? You know, like with
it gets back to the fact that
Nobody's simulating the, you know, the Timberwolves Bucks game that's coming up this coming week.
But nobody is talking about.
Oh, he went to Minnesota. Look out! Here we go.
Well, first of all, okay, I have nothing to say about that. but at the same time, nobody is talking about player ratings in NBA in the same way that they're talking about player ratings in Madden. People are not arguing player ratings at spring training camp for Madden like the same way that they argue in NBA. Yeah, right. You sometimes see players talking about it, but I'm sorry, Owen, in Madden is just more relevant to its league's culture.
All right, let's take a step back here for a second, and let's look at the one sort of hard data that we can look at, and that is analytics. And we have the guys who run the world's two most popular sports video game sites. Chris Sanner, what is bigger on Operation Sports? You're an analytics guy. What's bigger on Operation Sports, NBA 2K or Madden?
Are you seriously making me choose a side right now, Rich? Right now in public? You're making me choose a side right now.
You have to do it.
Because the answer is obvious right now. It really is. But I really don't want to say it because I'm afraid. I might get stuck in between the crossfire, and I'm really scared. How about if I text it to Brian? And he can reveal both of them for us, okay?
Can I just say that Chris represents a hardcore sports gaming website that has the kind of the top 1% of sports gaming fans versus what I'm referring to in a lot of ways with Madden's relevance is with people who have never even heard of Operation Sports. No offense, Chris. I wish they had.
I completely get that, but that's almost to the point of the interviewer asking naively, can you ever hope to compete with Madden? Where the answer is, not only is NBA 2K competing, but it's arguably winning that competition. So again, back to you, Chris Sanner. What gets the most traffic? What is bigger on Operation Sports, NBA 2K or Madden?
Let me just preface this by saying I love both Owen and Kat. They're both great, great arguments both ways. But seriously, actually, several years ago, I would have said Madden without a thought. But now, actually, I would say NBA 2K is slightly bigger on OS. And I mean, it's slightly. But Madden and NBA 2K are definitely the one, two big head, you know, big things, all that. But NBA 2K, traffic-wise, all that definitely brings in more year over year. And that can be attributed to many factors. But right now, NBA 2K brings in more.
Brian Weida, you also are incredibly well aware of your site's traffic. You post Madden pieces, you post NBA 2K pieces. Obviously, these are seasonal, but overall, what's bigger? What gets more views? What drives the bus these days? NBA 2K or Madden?
Well, the vast majority of people who visit the site are from North America, and Madden sells more in North America. It certainly gets higher traffic numbers. It gets more comments generally. They're obviously both big in that regard. But this whole argument, I want to go into the argument a little bit, Rich, if I can, because I've just been sitting back and listening and enjoying it. You know, this whole thing depends on what you're measuring, right? There's really no one or the other answer.
That's right.
If it's traditional media, Madden is still held up as kind of the leader in the space. North America's sales for Madden are higher. If you look at, let's just say, the last 3 years, Madden has finished number two, number three, and number two in North America. NBA 2K has finished number six, and number seven. Now, NBA 2K has a longer tail because it's got a longer season. Its sales leak into the next year, but Madden still wins out in North America there. They also have higher digital revenues. Ultimate Team is far more lucrative right now than VC and my team. But when you look at NBA 2K, it's stronger, I think, on a worldwide scale. It gets more buzz on social media. It has a presence that Madden doesn't have on lifestyle blogs, shoe blogs, music websites, things like that, which 2K has – they've cultivated that over the years with a purpose. I mean, even just like having Jay-Z involved, that kind of thing got them publicity in places Madden probably wouldn't get publicity. So another thing I look at is, remember a decade ago and around that time, the Madden Bowl was like a big thing. It got a ton of publicity. It was on television. Now no one watches. I mean, the one this year was just a Twitch stream, and I think it had like when I peeked in at it, it had like 6,000 people watching. There was four athletes involved. There used to be like a whole big bracket of athletes wanting to be involved in this thing, and like every website would write about it. The party had a ton of people watching. There were none this year, and I understand it was raining apparently there, but I mean, come on. Back then, even you had a reality television show set around people playing Madden competitively against each other. I mean, it was absurd. But if you look at it in the time we're in now, those things would make more sense for NBA 2K than they would for Madden, the way these games are standing now. So again, I would say, you know, Madden, as far as sales and revenue, is still bigger. But in terms of you know, discussion and social relevance and how far a game's reach goes, I think NBA 2K has the edge there.
Sumit Sarkar, you've been also listening to this conversation. What are your thoughts on the question of, is NBA 2K bigger than Madden?
Well, you know, I'm going to go with Owen, and it's not necessarily, or not just that I'm, you know, defending my cohort at Polygon, but I think that NBA 2K is really, I mean, specifically in the past few years, really ascended to a sort of cultural phenomenon that crosses all kinds of you know, demographics and things like that. Much in the same way that Madden did long before. You know, Madden certainly got there first, and is still up there. But I think NBA 2K as a brand has really wormed its way into the popular consciousness. You know, even more so than Madden, or at least I think it's. You know, there is a greater awareness of NBA 2K overall than sort of Madden currently. We've had this argument here, a very pitched back and forth battle between Owen and Kat. Certainly, I think it's pretty, you know, pretty close. It's neck and neck, but you know, just seeing the way that you know, you have the players of the sport talking about it. You know, certainly you've had, you know, TJ Houshmandzadeh on First Take complaining about his rating in years past and things like that. But where Madden's marketing seems to focus more on, you know, things like ridiculous insane commercial with Kevin Hart and Dave Franco. You know, you see NBA 2K just has this crazy awareness what's the word? You know, it's played by so many people, you know, and there's so many people aware of it. I was at this launch event for Sony's new charitable initiative, PlayStation Heroes, last Friday in New York. That's actually where I played MLB 15, the show. And they had people playing NBA 2K. They had Steph Curry there, and he played, I guess it was against someone from the USO or like a military veteran. And, you know, you have that there, and you've got the Madden Bowl, and you have all these things, all these instances of players and people outside the leagues and outside the core gaming community being aware of both these games. But to me, it just seems like these days NBA 2K is ascendant in that sort of measure of pop culture awareness.
You know, the thing that I sort of that strikes me these days is would Madden be Madden if it were called NFL 15? Like what if you just flipped the names and instead of Madden versus NBA 2K, it was Jordan versus NFL 15? Like one of the things I think that has really benefited Madden is the fact that it's not just called NFL to whatever, right? NBA 2K15 at least has that 2K connotation that somehow differentiates itself from something else. And you know, let's face it, right? The NFL is absolutely the most popular sport in North America. I mean, all you have to do is look at television ratings and attendance to figure that out. It's not even close. But the NFL also has no LeBron James. It has no Michael Jordan. It does not sell individual players nearly like it sells the franchises, the laundry, so to speak, whereas the NBA really sells its players. And I think it's been fascinating to watch this competition over the last few years, especially as the next generation consoles have really allowed so much more of the personalities and the individual flair of players. Like, you know, in Madden, let's face it, and I you know, people know me, they know this, I thoroughly enjoy both of these franchises. I play them both by far the most of any sports games. I like FIFA. I like MLB The Show quite a bit, you know. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if you looked at my hours logged on sports games, it's going to be NBA 2K and Madden, number one and number two. You know, but Madden is all about the teams. The game does not play that differently.
I want to go ahead and cut you off really quickly with a couple of counterarguments. One, I mean, the athlete on the cover of Madden is a big deal every single year. So in that sense, they do sell the athletes, and they do sell the players. Yes, the Wild just won. Sorry. And two, I mean, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, I mean, these players aren't the worldwide brand of a LeBron James, but they're still pretty darn big. So those are the only two things I wanted to bring up. They used to call it Joe Montana sports talk football, for crying out loud. They called it Peyton Manning football. What would it be any different?
Okay, first of all, Joe Montana football was a gimped product that EA Sports developed for Sega because they were back engineering the Genesis in order to develop Madden that they could publish without paying the license fee to Sega. So that's
Joe Montana and Deion Sanders were the face of Sega Sports for a long time.
Okay, well, that was point number one. The point number two is Tom Brady and Peyton Manning have no marketing presence in Madden because they are too expensive. And if they ever wanted to be in that game, they would have by now. Eli Manning, same point. So, you know, Madden is not selling Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. There are players within the NFL who are completely inaccessible to EA Sports, even within its reach through the NFLPA. and the NFL. And I think that NBA, NBA 2K has done, or if it's not done a lot better job, it has a lot better access to players who can, you know, make a franchise or sell a game on their face alone, such as Michael Jordan in 2010, you know, such as Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird in 2011, such as Kevin Durant and Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin, you know, the next year. I mean, but the idea that Madden is somehow selling Tom Brady, no, it's not.
But
it's
the NFL
not
is.
Selling Brady at all.
No, but I think Rich's point was that the NFL the NBA sells its players in a way the NFL doesn't, and I was disagreeing with that point.
Okay, and it's not, none of these are absolutes, right?
Or quibbling. Every league, I was every quibbling.
League, no, of course, that's fine. And every league sells its players, but I think the NBA, you know, promotes its individual players more than any other league. And, you know, when you're playing Madden, and I play it all the time, right? Yes, if you are playing with a better team, if you have Tom Brady as your quarterback or LeSean McCoy as your running back, you have a better chance of completing a pass or getting a better run. But if you're playing NBA 2K and you're playing, you know, with LeBron James, LeBron James is going to do stuff that LeBron James does. And LeSean McCoy is not going to do dramatically different things than most of the other running backs. He might have a couple extra moves, might be a little better. But, you know, when you're playing NBA 2K, the amount of individual personalities and strengths and animations and just the overall look is wildly different than Madden. And I think that is really, particularly since Michael Jordan was put on the cover, and all of a sudden NBA basketball video games went from a whole bunch of the same guys running around on the court to, oh my God, I just pulled off a move that was Michael Jordan doing what he did, put it into the discussion to where you can have a straight-faced conversation about whether NBA 2K is bigger or not. And again, we know that there cannot yet be a quantitative discussion about what is bigger or not. But the fact that you can even have the discussion when 3 years ago you would not have been able to, I think, is significant. Before we get out of here, I do want to run through a bunch of people that responded to this question. So I just want to run through a bunch of the listener tweets about this. Sean Widmer says 2K bigger than Madden. It's a fact now. MC Whale says it's a better game but not bigger. And by the way, the question is NBA 2K bigger than Madden? So that is what they're responding to specifically. Zach says FIFA is the best sports game of them all. Not answering the question, but thanks for the response, Zach. Anthony Sane says NBA 2K passed Madden years ago, in my opinion. Iker3085 says, hell no. Live head-to-head says, dub basketball is a worldwide sport. Football is a North American sport. Ernest Cavalli says, bigger, not by a long shot, but catching up quickly, absolutely. Jackie Bird says, yes, 2K15 will chart on NPD through July, while Madden 15 disappears after January. Happened last year, too. He also says, Take-Two has already announced sales of 5-plus million. EA on Madden 15 sales crickets. A very good, very good point on that. Sam Devine says, 2K11 made 2K the best. Casey Hannock just simply says, hell no. Seth Roy says, better, but not bigger. Madden release is a call-off workday for many. That's an interesting point. Mike Genius says, NBA 2K is bigger than Madden. Michael Edison says, I prefer Madden. They actually have improved the game in recent years. 2K seems to be growing a large hate base. Interesting point. Adam Burnett, Night Attack 09, says, 'tis a foolish thought, but basketball is getting more worldwide appeal, so one day possibly. Miguel Lozada says, obviously not sales-wise in the U.S. I'm just going to say this. Turt Diggler says, 2K, haven't played Madden in years, but don't think it's bigger than Madden. It doesn't have that world tournament, but I don't think either is a better representation of the sport than MLB The Show. It's the best sports game. All right. Marcus Frisk just says he has to tune in to hear this one. The Capulet says, Matt needs a mobile app that connects to the game. FIFA and NBA have it. What's the holdup that's holding it back? Miguel Lozada says, I mean, I agree with NBA having a bigger overall audience, but in gaming, Madden wins. David iPod King Carter says, yes, without a doubt. And lastly, Owen Good says, of course it's NBA 2K. You guys are all crazy if it's not. No, of course he did not say that. All right. This has been a lot of fun. We could probably go on for another half hour or so, and I have a feeling we'll have some follow-up discussions about it. A lot of fun, but I just want to say before we get out of here that the Press Row podcast will be at PAX East 2014. We are going to be live and in person on Saturday, March 7th at 4:30 p.m. We're going to be at, I believe, the Bumblebee Theater at 4:30 p.m. Sumit Sarkar will be there live and in person. TJ Lowry will be live there in person. Owen Good will hopefully be connected through Skype like we did last year. And there will be some other special guests as well. We're going to have a lot of fun. Please, if you're going to be at PAX East, come check us out Saturday at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just want to say thank you very much to all of the panel guests tonight. It has been a spirited discussion. So on behalf of Brian Weedy from Pasta Padre, Kat Bailey from US Gamer, Chris Sander from Operation Sports, Owen Good from Polygon, Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, I'm Rich Grisham. Thank you, as always, for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast brought to you by Operation Sports. We ask that you please subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and the Windows phones. We also ask that you give us a rating. That really helps us a lot. We also ask that you please follow each of our panelists on Twitter, and they are as follows. Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good. Pasta Padre's Brian Weedy at Pasta Padre. Polygon's Sumit Sarkar at Sumit Sarkar. That Sports Gamer's TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer. US Gamer's Kat Bailey at the underscore Catbot. Operation Sports Chris Sander at Chris SNR. And Operation Sports Steve No at Steve underscore OS. And of course, me, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And we really want to thank the great people at Operation Sports for making this show happen every single week. So thanks. We'll see you again next time.